Hello, this is Michael Morris. I've retired to Liverpool and am part of St Mary's Grassendale congregation. Ash Wednesday is a period of penitence that's come upon us once more, and how very different from last year. We're out of COVID restrictions, including lockdown, and we're able to enjoy newfound freedoms, or some of us are, at least. Sadly, this year is also very different from last year for another reason, and that's the horrific happenings in Ukraine. It's an example of how fragile the freedom is that we all take for granted. Last year, COVID was an issue for the whole world. That was bad enough, and not, as far as we know, man-made. This year, the events in Ukraine will have consequences for the whole world in a very different way, and the suffering is entirely man-made. Ash Wednesday, of course, marks the start of Lent, a period of reflection as well as penitence as we prepare to celebrate Easter. And this year, of all years, reflection and penitence seem most appropriate as we watch what's happening in Ukraine. The events that technology allows us to watch unfolding live as they happen are a sad reflection of how the world has ignored its maker's instructions. And who knows how much worse things will have become between me recording this on the last day of February and you listening in the month of March. St. David's Day on March the 1st will not be a time of rejoicing for me as I contemplate the fate of those under bombardment in Ukraine's cities and those lucky enough, if lucky is the right word, to have moved out and become refugees. Our hearts go out to each individual refugee and to the families they have to leave behind, and the numbers are simply overwhelming. Up to 4 million people are expected to be displaced, and I put that number in perspective by realizing that the whole population of Wales is barely 6 million. I think of the magnificent response of the people of Liverpool, and our parishes in particular, to the all too recent appeal for refugees from Afghanistan, and the wonderful and sadly all too necessary work we do to support local food banks and charities like Baby Kind. And I just wonder how long before donor fatigue sets in. And in the year when our chosen text from Scripture is about enjoying life in abundance, or in all its fullness, as the older translation says, we really do have cause for reflection this Lent. I hope to look in the coming weeks in more detail at what abundance may mean for us as Christians. But before we look at abundant life, let's first consider the more basic concept of life. Life is a gift given by God. None of us ask to be conceived or born, but just as we teach our children to respect the gifts they receive at Christmas or on their birthday, so too we need to respect the gift of life given us by God through our parents. That's why one of the Ten Commandments reminds us of the need to honour our father and mother. As a theologian, I spent much time learning about and smiling at what theologians have said over the years about the gift of life. I say smile at because some of the pre-scientific ideas about life and existence were quite quaint, and debates raged fiercely about when a person acquires a soul. We often use the word soulless to describe a place that seems dead or lacks character. So without boring you with the historical debates about when a person acquires a soul, I think we can agree that every individual is unique, and even newborn babies develop their own soul, character, and individuality. The Greek word for soul is psyche, which we mispronounce as psyche, as in psychology. And it's the soul that breathes life into our bodies and makes us who we are. The perennial problem for Christians is, why did God give us free will? By giving us a soul that makes us different from other animals, knowing that life for us means freedom to choose between good and evil. Why take the risk that we might take the gift of life and abuse it? Whether we abuse our own life, perhaps through the misuse of drugs, tobacco, alcohol, or even food, or abuse other people's lives, so often through abuse of power, physically, emotionally, sexually, and of course politically. As we condemn politicians for abusing their power, let's use this Lent to reflect and be penitent about the ways we are all too easily tempted to choose evil over good, and ask God to help us, in the words of the Lord's Prayer, not to be led into temptation, and to deliver us and all his children worldwide from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are his. Can I invite you now to join with me and many other Christians in praying for the people of Ukraine, using the prayer given us by the Archbishops of Canterbury and York. God of peace and justice, we pray for the people of Ukraine today. We pray for peace and the laying down of weapons. We pray for all those who fear for tomorrow, that your spirit of comfort would draw near to them. We pray for those with power over war or peace, for wisdom, discernment, and compassion to guide their decisions. Above all, we pray for all your precious children at risk and in fear, that you would hold and protect them. We pray in the name of Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Amen. And shall we finish with a prayer that Jesus himself gave us? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.